Welcome, welcome, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. And this is your man, L Wonder. We are going to continue on in our We Be Like series. And we are all the way down to part eight in this We Be Like series. Part eight of 11. We have total 11 total people that we are going to be focusing on, and not just the people that we're focusing on, but the aspect, the characteristics that stands out. Of course, many of these people carry so many characteristics, but we are going to focus on some of the characteristics that spoke to us about and what made these people iconic African-American figures. In this episode, we're going to be talking about how to educate like W.E.B. We're discussing the life, we're discussing the characteristics, the education, the mentality of education that W.E.B. Du Bois brought to the table. We're going to be going into a lot of who he was, what he was, what he did, but also how and why, how he took education and allowed it to make a major platform for who he was and what he wanted to do. So, once again, thank you for joining us on this 21st episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder, and we are going to be focusing on getting back into our We Be Like topic, part eight of We Be Like, and we're going to be focusing on how to educate like W.E.B. So, go ahead, get yourself relaxed, get yourself focused, and just make sure you got your focus on so we can really just dive into this topic, and because it's going to be a real good one. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be right back with this right after this message. Hey, so let's jump right into this. We're talking about educating like W.E.B. And we talked about W.E.B. Du Bois. So, now, I just want to hit on a couple things. I just want to really tap on a couple things because I think that this is really, really important, really valuable for us to really get involved on who W.E.B. Du Bois was. So, first off, W.E.B. Du Bois was born William Edward Burkhart Du Bois. That's what the W.E.B. stand for. William Edward Burkhart Du Bois. He was born in February 23rd, 1868, in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and he died. He actually died in Ghana, in Accra, Ghana, August 27th, 1968. So he was born from 1868, to August 27, 1963. So he almost year, he lived 95 years. That was a really good, and I'm really glad to hear that he lived a very long life. He was an American sociologist, historian, author, editor, and activist who was the most important black protest leader in the United States during the first half of the 20th century. He was one of the people who created the National Association of the Advancement for Colored People, NAACP, in 1909, and edited the Crisis, its magazine, from 1910 to 1934. His collection of essays, The Soul of Black Folk, oh my goodness, that's an amazing read. So if you ever get a chance to go back and if you ever get a chance to look up The Soul of Black Folks, it is a collection of essays. It gives you a forethought, but then it also breaks into different segments of spiritual strivings, and of spiritual strivings, it gives you the song, and then it gives you, oh my goodness, so much insight, so much in depth of the soul of black folk. It really does. So he wrote a lot. he broke into, it's like, okay, for instance, here's a part of that reading. And I'm just picking a random verse, I mean a random paragraph. The history of the African Negro is the history of this strife. This longing to attain self-conscious manhood, to merge his double self into a better and truer self. In this merging, he wishes neither of the older selves to be lost. He would not Africanize America. For America has to be much teach the world in Africa. He would not bleach his Negro soul in a flood of white Americanism. For he know that Negro blood has a message for the world. He simply wishes to make it possible for a man to be both a Negro and an American without being cursed and spit upon by his fellows, without having the door of opportunity closed roughly in his face. So I think that paragraph right there stands out so significant in painting what African Americans felt right after slavery was, and I am doing the air quotes, was quote unquote abolished, or say slavery was quote unquote ended. Because within 20 years after the 14th Amendment, which is what really kicked it into gear, basically the country stopped showing interest, or stopped really being energetic or being enthused about ending slavery, for real, for real. Like, it changed dramatically. So at this time, and this was around the time, because this is W.E.B. Du Bois lived through this time. He's seen what it was to be going, what it was to be around at this time. Because so it was so much. You got to think about it. Slavery has ended and slavery did not. But so what slavery done was, first off, all of this work, this free work that the white Americans had going on, it took away the free labor, first off. And then even with that, not only did it take away free labor, now you're trying to make these people who've been slaved, who we've been beaten, who white America has been looking up, who looking down upon, who will never be equal to us. Now you expect us to look at them as equals. Now you expect us to give them a fair chance. You want them to make choices as it to that impacts our lives. You want them to be able to vote. You want them to be able to, and that's where the 15th Amendment came in. You want them to be able to vote now. You want them to be able to be part of our democracy. You want them to be part of, you want them to be part of our community. You want us to look at them as if they are part of us and have equal rights. So that create, that's where you had a lot of resistance and a lot of anger. And after a while, you know, what we were supposed to be able to have in the 14th Amendment was supposed to be equality. But, and we were supposed to be equal by, in rights, but we were also supposed to be equal in being protected by the laws. And that's where the laws failed to help. That's where our judicial system was supposed to step in and be able to assist with equality, and it failed tremendously because there was so many court cases that proved that the judicial system still tarnished this, or tarnished the representation of the 14th Amendment. And that's what W.E.B. Du Bois done. Well, no, that's not what he done. That's where his education took played a major role in what was going on in this whole situation. What do I mean by that? Let's look at it. So, just a FYI, W.E.B. Du Bois was an influential African-American rights activist during the early 20th century. He co-founded the NAACP and wrote The Souls of Black Folks. Like I said, if you can read that, go ahead, because I just read one paragraph, one simple paragraph from the first chapter, which is of Our Spiritual Strivings. They have a bunch of different ones. Of The Dawn of Freedom, of Mr. Booker T. Washington and others, of The Meaning of Progress, of The Wings of Atlanta. There's so many different ones, and I like it. Of The Training of Black Men, of The Black Belt. Excuse me. But they have so many different ones, and I just read you a small passage of the very first, which is of The Spiritual Strivings. That writing that I just read, it really did paint a vivid picture of what African Americans, what the soul of African Americans was asking for. Especially after being declared free, and they never received it. We never received it. It was like, and if you look at current day, you know, it's still unequal. It's still not the same. No, it's not like it used to be, but at the same sense, we are seeing so much of what it was. We're seeing, and over the last few years, it has just reminded us that we are nowhere near the place that we thought we were as a country. We are nowhere near what we thought we were as a group of people, as a race. And it's sad. But what I'm hoping is, I'm hoping that in these different We Be Like series, in this We Be Like series, in these different We Be Like parts, that we can find our footing, that we can find our stabilization for ourselves, within ourselves, but that way then we can actually expand it to the rest of our culture, so that we can do something, so that we can make a transition. Now, as I stated, you know, W.E.B. Du Bois had a lot of stuff going on. He was known as a scholar and activist. W.E.B. Du Bois became the first African American to earn a PhD from Harvard University in 1895. So he wrote extensively and was the best known spokesperson for African American rights during the first half of the 20th century. Du Bois co-founded the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People in 1909. So let's talk about the early life of education, his early life and his education. William Edward Burghardt Du Bois, better known as W.E.B. Du Bois, was born February 23rd, 1868, in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. While growing up in a mostly white American town, Du Bois identified himself as mulatto, but freely attended school with white people and was enthusiastically supported in his academic studies by his white teachers. Okay, so this is what I hope that we're able to see, it's going to take more than just us to be able to push certain things, more than just us to be able to build up generations and build up our children and build up. I know as a parent, one thing I know as a father, as much as I want to, and I'm going to strive to do everything in my power to make sure my children understand as much as they possibly can, one thing I realize is that it takes a village to raise a child. And I have three children. So does that mean I need three villages? Or that mean that the village that I have for my children, that's built around my children, has to be really, really strong. The thing about it is, we as parents are the very first and the take the ownership right on making sure that our children have as much as they possibly can to set them on the best possible path that they need. That's what we're going to do. Me as a father, I'm going to do that. If any other parents are out there listening to me, I know that's our goal. That's what we have to do. That's what we strive to do. But there's a realization that we all have to understand. There's a realization that it's hard for most parents to understand, which is you are not in total control of everything that goes on with your child. And I know as hard as many people might look at that and say, that is so freaking true. Most people will not even try to recognize that they are not in control of what's going on. In saying that, this is why I say this, because you got to be able to recognize that there are going to be certain things that you are not in control of, that you cannot control, that you are not over, that you just do not have the ability to control. In saying that, you got to be a, so what do you do from there? This is where my faith comes in at. This is where my trust comes in at. This is where my belief system, this is where my foundation of faith plays a role. I know when it comes to ALJ, when it comes to Shamar, when it comes to Serenity, and when it comes to any future children that we might have, even my spiritual children, when it comes to any of my family members, my brother, my sister, my brothers, my sister, any of them, anybody close to me, my wife, when it comes to that, one thing we got to realize is we cannot totally control everything surrounding everybody. We could barely control the main situations around us. But this is where the faith has to play a role into it. Because if you can't control it, you have to be able to pray and be able to cover certain things, certain people, certain situations spiritually. Because that right there is within your ability. We do have the ability to cover people spiritually. We do have the ability to speak certain things into fruition. We do have the ability to speak certain things out of now. We understand that everything, that the certain things we just can't control. But this is where we ask God, we pray and we ask God for guidance. We pray and ask God to cover. We pray and ask God to put people in certain places to do the things that we are not able to do. To stand in a gap for people that we are not able to. Now, is that the perfect answer? No, not at all. Because guess what? Even though you pray about certain things, even though you ask God certain things, there's still a couple factors that's beyond your prayer and your control. What you mean, certain factors, such as free will. Human beings got free will to do and act and be a certain type of way. So they have free will. So, in saying that, now, what was I going to from this? I was reading the fact that while growing up in a mostly white American town, Du Bois identified himself as mulatto, but freely attended school with white people and was enthusiastically supported in his academic studies by his white teachers. In 1885, he moved to Nashville, Tennessee, to attend Fisk University. And it was there that he first encountered Jim Crow laws. For the first time, he began analyzing the deep troubles of American racism. So at the beginning of his life, and I think this is very important, certain things happen for certain reasons. Because at the beginning of W.E.B. Du Bois's life, he was surrounded by, he was in a, in a mostly white neighborhood, and he was attending school with white people, with white children, white people, and he had white teachers to encourage him. So it shows us, just like Martin Luther King, we talked about in Martin Luther King's speech, not every white person, and please remember this, not every black and or not every white person are the same. Not every white person is evil or has racism in them or has hatred for black people. Just like not every black person is the same. Do not misinterpret that all people just because of their race are the same. That's prejudice. That's prejudging. Just based off of you even knowing anybody who they are. So please do not get that twisted. And from there, when he went to Tennessee, when he went to Nashville, Tennessee, and attended Fisk University, that's where he really started encountering the Jim Crow laws, the separation, blacks bathrooms and whites bathrooms, or black water fountains and white water fountains, or black restaurants and white restaurants, or blacks this or that, and the separation. And they talked about separate but equal when that truly is not the same thing, when it truly was not the phase that, of life that was going on. Okay? So in saying all of that, after when he first started encountering the Jim Crow laws, that's where the first time he began analyzing the deep troubles of American racism. So after earning his bachelor's degree at Fisk, Du Bois, let me go back a little bit before that, where I want to talk about, where is it at? Because I want to push the issue that before he actually got his degree, where am I reading out? That his mother is who pushed him into finishing, into going, furthering his education. Because at that time, most African Americans did not have a high school education. So his mother is the one who pushed him to further his education. That brings me to another point. Parents, especially mothers, women, we are closing up Women History Month, and I cannot say this enough. Women, please understand the impact that you have on not just your husbands, but your children's lives as well. You do have an impact. You do have a huge impact on your husband's life. So please understand the implication that you play when it comes to your husband. You impact them so much, it's ridiculous. You have so much authority. You have so much power. You have so much influence over your husbands. But you also have so much impact and authority and impression on your children. So it was the mother who influenced W.E.B. Du Bois to even further his education through high school. Don't just stop at the bare minimum of education, is what she basically was encouraging him. Don't just be happy with what everybody else got. There's something that I want you to do and I want you to get that's so much more, that's so much further than what everybody already got. And she recognized certain things within him. So please, women, please understand that you impact your family. Please understand the impact that you have on your family. When it comes to your husbands, when it comes to men, when it comes to significant others, so much power that you bring to the table when it comes to encouraging and building up and lifting up and pushing and motivating. I really hope that y'all grasp that concept, that y'all grasp that understanding, because we already talked about last week. We talked about speaking like Frederick, and we talked about the power, the life and death and the power of the tongue. And that's biblical as well. But we talked about the power behind your words. I hope you understand that God gave you the ability to influence your spouse, your husband, in a major, ridiculously major way. So in saying that, please understand, please be aware that, you know, of how you can push and how you can motivate and impact your family. So when you're doing that, being aware of that, make sure that you utilize that gift and talent. I don't just want you to be aware of it. I want you to also utilize that with maturity and the grace that's within you. Please utilize that influence. Utilize the influence with grace and maturity that's within you. Pray about how to use that and listen to what God's response is on how to utilize your influence, because you definitely have influence. I hope that that's a huge deal to me, because one of the things that I realize out here is that most women do not understand the value of their influence. They do not understand the value of their influence. So please do that. And this reminded me when I read that about how W.E.B. Du Bois's mom was the reason, was the influencer of him even furthering his education to just high school. Now, from there, he went to Fisk. He went to he got his bachelor's degree at Fisk. Then Du Bois entered Harvard University. He paid his way with money from summer jobs, scholarships, and loans from friends. He had churches. He had church members donating to him going to school. He was able to bus his, but he was selected for a study abroad program at the University of Berlin. So W.E.B. Du Bois found so many different avenues. It was he had to find so many different avenues in order for him to build his education. Okay, so I hope that you understand that means. That means that, you know, the education did not come easy. And remember, last week I talked about, when I talked about Frederick Douglass, how Frederick Douglass was not, remember I talked about how Frederick Douglass was a slave initially, and he was not supposed to know how to read. And the wife of the owner broke the law by teaching him how to read and write. So understand this about education, the value of education. I will say this, educate most people, especially in certain communities that I grew up in and I came up through, people that I talked to, most people put down the value of education. Yeah, I know education is just, but it's just a real expensive way of just giving debt. And most people going to school come out stupid, and I'm not saying, okay, I understand those points, but I will say this as well. Please understand, education does carry some weight, especially if you're going to school to learn some things. If you're going to school, that's one of the reasons, and many people might fault me. I tried to talk to my son about going to school, and he chose not to. The thing about me, I didn't go to school when I first got out of high school. As a matter of fact, I dropped out of high school. Yes, I did go back to get my GED, but the thing about it is, when I felt like it was time for me to go back to school, when I needed to go back to school, I kicked myself, because I was like, I wish I would have done this earlier. But understanding this, I had to understand that I had to go to school when it was time for me to go to school, because I needed to go to school when it was time for me to get the most out of school. That means that, and for me, I had to be settled within myself that it was a necessity for my growth, my development, my progression, in order for me. The education was a necessity for my progression. And because education was a necessity for my progression, I needed to go to school. So education is a necessity for progression in certain instances. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. School is not meant for everybody. I understand that. I know that. I can see that. But if what you're trying to do, and I always say this, if what you're trying to do requires education, then it's for you. I'm not saying that you have to like it, that you have to love it. I'm not saying that you have to be the one that falls in love with going to school, that falls in love with learning stuff. No, that does not mean, that is not a measurement of saying, does this mean that I need to go back to school? No. If you figure out if you need to go back to school based off of, is it necessary in order to get me to the level that I'm trying to get to? Is it really necessary? Is education necessary to take you to the next level of what you're trying to do? To take you to the goals and the vision that God has placed in your mind and in your heart? if you can answer that, yes, I know I don't need education for that, that I can do this without going back to school, that I can do this without going back to, without signing up for education, without going to school. If you can do it without going back to school, do it. But if you can honestly say within your heart that I need to go to level up when it comes to my education in order to get some certain goals, in order to reach certain goals, then that's what you need to make sure you're doing. Somebody out here is listening to me. Somebody out here got a certain type of degree or whatever the case may be. But if you know that God is speaking to you about going to a whole different level, I'm going to be honest with you. It is scary. It's hard. It's challenging. But it's a necessity. If it's a necessity, then you better go ahead and do that, because that's the way that, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. For me, for myself, it did not, nothing happened until I started really going back to school for myself. And I knew I had to go back to school. I did not like it. I was not ready. Let me take that back. It wasn't that I wasn't ready. I did not want to because I knew all that it was going to entail. I knew the responsibility that was going to come behind it. It was going to mean that I was going to have to spend some time in my basement working on my laptop, reading stuff, writing stuff, typing stuff up that I did not want to do. But it was necessary for me to reach that next level of what I wanted to, of what I wanted to do professionally. I'm going to be honest with you. I got my degree in November of 2017. A month after being married, I finished my degree. 2 months after that is when I started my job with the VA, utilizing my degree. Now, did I need a degree to start that job? No, I didn't. But I used that degree to show that I was in that I was ready for that place. 6 months after that is when they offered me, when one of my managers spoke to me about potentially applying for the supervisor position. In which I got a month after that, a month and a half after that. It was from that God was speaking to me again about continuing my education. Did I want to? Not at all. But guess what? The thing about it is God put these things in place, and he put these things in your heart. He put these things in your spirit because it's a necessity for the plan he had for your life. I don't know why. I don't know everything. I don't know all the details about things, but I'm watching right now as my life unfolds and the things of God is starting to unfold in my life. And I believe that, just like I always say, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I know that him calling me, that him allowing me, him sending me the message in my spirit to go back to school, him sending me the messages to when it's time to go do this education, get this, him putting that in my heart and him watching me see it through to completion, which is what my mom, just like I always said about mothers, my mom spoke to me. My mother spoke to me a long time ago and said, and made sure she put something in me that I always remember. And I just seen it on Facebook earlier today. As I was getting ready for my associate's degree graduation back in 2010. My mother said, Lamar, I received the link for your graduation because I graduated online. And I said to her back then, the same thing that I said to her, that I say to her constantly. And every Mother's Day message, any happy birthday messages or anything, you can go back and check it. But I always talk about how my mother told me one thing that stuck out. And it has been in my spirit since I was younger. And she told me, Lamar, make sure that you are seeing things through to completion. She said, we got a problem, not just in this family. We got a problem as a culture of not seeing things through completion, starting stuff without always finishing it. She said, I want you to be different in that aspect. I don't want you to carry those same things. My mother was breaking a generational curse that she didn't even know she was breaking at that time. My mother was breaking ties that she didn't even know she was breaking at that time. She was establishing certain things that she did not even know she was doing. But because it was in her spirit to speak to her child about this certain thing, she did. She said, you need to start following things through all the way through to completion. So that's why I brought up the fact that it was W.E.B. Du Bois's mom who sent him. So, I mean, who encouraged him to go back to school just to complete his high school diploma. And then after that, he got his bachelor's degree. Then he got, he went to Harvard University, which he did drop out of Harvard. He didn't get it. After a few scholarships, after completing his master's degree, so he got his master's degree. He didn't get his doctorate as of yet. I mean, at that time, he said he selected to study abroad, performing at University of Berlin. While a pupil in Germany, he studied with some of the most prominent social scientists of his day and was exposed to political perspectives that he touted for the remainder of his life. Now peep this. So when he went to Berlin, he didn't get his doctor's degree, but he got a chance to study with some people, some prominent people that taught him some things from a sociological, scientific aspect and from political perspective that he used for the rest of his life. Now, yeah, he did eventually get his doctor's degree, his doctorate. Du Bois became the first African-American to earn a PhD from Harvard University in 1895. He went on to enroll as a doctoral student at Friedrich Wilhelms University. He would be awarded an honorary doctorate degree from them decades later. Du Bois, so in saying all of that, he did get his education. Now, how did he use this education? This is what I like. I don't know if you know this or not, but see, W.E.B. Du Bois was known. He was well known for the studies he had. What do I mean by that? Where it says W.E.B. Du Bois was basically, he was well known for his sociological investigations. For more than a decade, he devoted himself to sociological investigations of blacks in America, producing 16 research monographs published between 1897 and 1914 at Atlanta University, where he was a professor, as well as the Philadelphia Negro. So basically, he was abroad trained in the social sciences, and at the time of the sociologists, where theories about race relations, he was conducting empirical inquiries into the conditions of black. See, that's where he started doing sociological studies. He was actually going to people's houses, knocking on people's doors, trying to get insight on, how blacks were being treated, how blacks felt, and started pulling this together in research projects, given data. He was able to establish data, given some talking points and having some huge influences when it comes to his data that he brought forth. He was able to produce data that made people that people could not deny. So while we talking about, that's why we want to talk about educating like W.E.B. Because W.E.B. did not stop his education based off of what was easy. He didn't stop his education based off of what he wanted to do. He didn't stop his education based off of what he felt was the most important to him. But he continued, he fought, he strived, he did as much as he possibly can to pursue his education because of the calling that he felt within himself that was initially sparked by his parents. And then he utilized that education. He utilized the training. He utilized the training that he got while he was in Germany. He utilized the education, that the training that he's seen with some profound people. And he started experimenting with stats and sociological statistics. So as we talk about, I'm not going to worry about being on here too long. I was on a family vacation, so I wasn't able to get this out to y'all yesterday, but I'm still getting this out to y'all. So that's why I'm not doing it through Facebook Live. That's why I'm just doing it through the podcast. But I still want to get this information out. So as we talk about Educate Like W.E.B. Du Bois, let's wrap this up a little bit. But while we're educating like W.E.B., don't limit your education. And like we said, education is, going to school is not for everybody. But if what you want to do requires you to go to school, then it's for you. Do not allow how you feel, how you don't want to get in the way. Because what that is doing is your feelings are temporal. Remember this, your feelings are temporal. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not want to go to school. I was not hype. I was not super dope. I was not really, when I was in elementary school, I was not the smartest person in the class. I didn't do math real good. I was terrible at reading. I was the kid who was stuttering at reading in front of the class. Instead of reading like I wanted to, the teacher wanted me to, I would crack jokes. So that, like I said, I dropped out of high school. But see, I knew for the benefit of my children, I needed the high school diploma. So my children motivated me to go to high school. In around 2007, 2008, I've been getting a nudge in my spirit that I need to go back to school. So November of 2008, I started my associate's degree. They told me, hey, you know, we don't have any, I don't know, this is how much the grant's going to be, but you don't have much left for school. I said, I got to go back to school. I don't want to do it alone, but I have to. I obtained my associate's degree in 2010. Then I started my bachelor's degree. I was going to school, getting my bachelor's degree. I got separated. I still was focused on school. My sister passed away. Then I started slipping when it came to the focus that I had in school. I stopped school. I failed classes and everything else. So from late 2010 to like 2012, 2013, somewhere around there, I was going back and forth, and then I just eventually stopped. Then in 2015, God put it on my heart to go back to school and get my bachelor's degree. So I talked to my wife. Well, she was my fiance at the time. I talked to her and said, you know what? God put it on my heart to go back to school. What you think about this? And she was happy about it. She was excited. And for that first year and a half, I'm going to be honest with you. The first year, 2016, I was not doing it the way I was supposed to be doing it. I didn't put the energy and effort into it. I'm like, this is not me. This is not how it's supposed to be. I'm not putting the energy and effort into my school like I'm supposed to. Maybe I should step back and stop. This is why I say this. Women, please understand the influence that you have on your men, on your family. Because she spoke over it. She said, well, and she spoke based off of what God said to her. Please, women, please understand that you have so much more influence than what you know over your men. And I say that not joking at all, but I say that in hopes that you take your influence serious and that you take it and that you move with it gracefully. Speak into your men's lives, because it's speaking over your men's lives is what will make your men speak. We will push your men, encourage your men, and let them see the value of who you are even more. She spoke over my life, and I went back to, I got focused. A year and a half before I would finish my degree, I got focused. I want to say March, April, somewhere around April, May-ish of 2016. Matter of fact, yeah, it was about March. Yes, it's close because it was right before my birthday of 2016. And I'm like, you know what? Let me transition how I'm doing things. And I started putting time frames on when I got to be in a basement to do my schoolwork, when I'm going to stay focused on my schoolwork, and I can start getting to it. I start hitting the books. I start really being serious, taking my education serious. I started investing into my education because I knew that my education would turn out to invest into me. And the more I start doing it, the more time I start spending, the more energy I start, the effort I start putting into it. And I realized how much she had my back covering things, other things. That's what pushed me and motivated me to do my thing even harder. So when I graduated in November of 2017, she told me off rip, Lamar, you're not done. And I'm sitting up here like, I don't feel like going back to school. No, I don't feel like going. But she said, no, I already know that you ain't done. I know you got to go back to school and get your master's. I wasn't thinking about that. I'm like, okay, I'm cool getting my bachelor's. And as I said, November, I got my degree. I started my new job at the VA in January of 2018. By August of 2018, I was a supervisor. I got a promotion to as a supervisor of payroll. And from there, I was able to do some amazing things through that job, which got me recognized for the position that I'm in now. Now, I'm not done. But the thing about it is I knew that when it came to the education part, I didn't like it. I didn't like spending the long hours by myself away from my family. When my family had to go out and they wanted to go to Wade Oval, how I had to stay in the house because I had a couple of assignments to do. I didn't like that. I didn't like how when they would spend time watching whatever random shows that we liked as a family, that I had to sit in the basement because Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays was my days that I focused on school. Nothing but college. Nothing but schoolwork after I got home. Yeah, they would bring down my plate. They would bring down my food and everything like that, but I was focused on school. But it was the education that was necessary to even put me at the table. In W.E.B. Du Bois's case, it was the education that was necessary to teach him the sociology, the statistics, the exploration, the different research methods that he would later use. So in saying that, if even if education is not your thing, is it necessary to get you where you want to be? And if you answer yes to that, then you might want to go back to school. So come on, join me. We go educate ourselves like W.E.B. Du Bois. And this is why we are taking this time to really explore what that really means. Like I said, now, once again, I do not want to hold y'all too long. I'm not going to overdo it. I'm not going to overdo it, but I do want to tell y'all thank you once again for joining us for the 21st episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. Thank you for, and this We Be Like series has been so amazing, has been doing so much within, I've been learning so much myself. If nobody has been getting anything, I'm going to be honest with you. I really hope that you, every time y'all listen to this, that y'all get something out of this. But I'm going to be honest with you. If nobody has gotten anything from this We Be Like series, I know I have personally gained so much more knowledge, so much more understanding, so much more that will help me, not just in my podcast, but also in things that's about to happen in the future. I got so many ideas, so many concepts that I want to break out here on this podcast. And I'm looking forward. Once I complete this series, I'm going to take I got some things that I got some things coming ahead. So I'm really excited about that. But I thank you one more time for joining me on this, on part 8 of We Be Like, as we explore Educate Like W.E.B. Once again, I'm your man, L Wonder. And I really do appreciate what you're doing. Go ahead to Wonder Why with L Wonder.wordpress.com, or go to my Facebook page. Or even email me at lwonder821@gmail.com. Let me know how you feeling things. If you like anything, if you got any comments, if you got anything to say, whatever you feeling, just let me know what's going on. And once again, thank you again. I really do appreciate everything for y'all listening and everything like that. And you have an amazing rest of the day. And Wonder out.